Hi, everybody, and welcome. Special guest on The Rock this morning. My pleasure to be speaking with Caleb Dahlgren, member of the Humboldt Broncos. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Hey, let's go back a little bit. 3 years ago, of course, when I first met you and your mom, Anita, and your dad, Mark, you were a member of the Notre Dame Hounds. And one of the things that struck me about you at that time when I learned that you were type 1 diabetic, and we talked a little bit about that back then, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And part of what we talked about was your growing up with diabetes and how you've been able to control it. One thing that was in your favor, we always said, too, was both your parents are nurses.
Yeah, that so definitely helped the cause.
It certainly did. You learned to live with that at a young age, didn't you, Caleb?
Yeah, I got diagnosed when I was 4 years old and have had it ever since. So it's been 16 years now.
So what do you do? What is your regiment like for a type 1 diabetic who's athletic, a hockey player, everything else? What's your day like in that regard?
Well, if it's a game day, I'll be checking my blood sugar around 8 to 10 times that day. And I'll have a normal day, and I'll wake up and check my blood sugar, and then I'll eat, give myself some insulin depending on how many carbs I've had. And then after that, I'll go and practice, and then I'll come back, have a little bit more to eat, get a lunch in me, then I'll give myself some more insulin, have a nap, wake up, have another meal, lots of eating as you can tell, and take insulin for that for the game, and then I'll check my blood sugar before I leave the house for the game, and then I'll arrive at the rink, get ready, and just before we have our team meeting, I'll check my blood sugar again, so that'll be around, I guess, 5:30. And then after that, I will check my blood sugar after first, right after the warm-up, and then I'll check it, depending on how that is, the reading. If it's high, then I'll give myself some insulin, and if it's low, then I'll have a snack. And then afterwards, I'll check it in every intermission, and then after the game, I wait an hour to check it.
That's so. Some serious discipline you've grown up with.
Yep. Yeah, uh-huh. Just the way of life now, and I don't really see it as a negative. I just see it as a positive, and it's good that I can take good control of it.
Yeah, you certainly have. 2 years you were in Notre Dame. Did you ask for the trade out of there when you went to Humboldt?
Yes, I did, yeah. I wanted to go to Humboldt, so I was able to start a program there because Wilcox was a really small town.
Yep.
And I felt like it wouldn't really take off. So I decided to go to Humboldt and create a Dahlgren's Diabetes program.
Who came up with that name?
Actually, my dad and I, when I was 16, I said I wanted to give back, and I wanted to do something big. And so when I thought of it, I was like, you know what, diabetes, like, I call myself a diabetes sometimes, just jokingly. And then, well, my dad was like, well, your last name is Dahlgren, and I was like, well, I guess we'll call it Dahlgren's Diabetes then. So that's how the name came up.
And your work began almost immediately when you got to Humboldt in trying to tie this in. And tell me about some of what you did, because you identify and you bring in young kids who are type 1 diabetic, as you were at one time, and they can see through you that you can achieve your goals even though you have this.
Mm-hmm. So growing up with type 1 diabetes, I really didn't have anybody to look up to. Bobby Clark had type 1 diabetes and played in NHL, but that was a little bit before my time.
Yep.
And I still see like highlight videos of him, and he was phenomenal. And so I knew that I could do it, but, like, there was no one really to look up to at that time. There was no, like, 15-year-old or 18-year-old that had diabetes that reached out to me. It was just, I was like, hey, well, I guess I'm on my own.
Yeah.
So growing up with that, it was a little bit difficult because in class all the kids would ask, what's that for? Why do you have it? And, like, I couldn't really explain. I was young. And so I just, like, yeah, I have diabetes. And they're like, oh, is it contagious? And I'm like, no, it's not. And so that's kind of like the way it was growing up. So I wanted to start this program to let kids know that they're not alone and kind of give them my little background info about diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it is we bring a child to a hockey game, and they could either be a boy or a girl. So they'll come to a Bronco game, they bring their parents, and they get a Dahlgren's Diabetes jersey, and they get to wear it for the whole game. And so they get to do a ceremonial face-off and drop the puck. And as they drop the puck, you get a couple pictures after. And then they get to enjoy the whole game. And then after the game, I'll hurry out of the dressing room and meet them. and their family and give them some Bronco/diabetes swag, if you want to call it that. And then we'll talk about diabetes and just growing up with it. And if they have any questions, I'll answer it. And it's really just to get to know them and let them know that they can pursue their dreams and passions and that diabetes should not stop them. And so I wanted to be that role model for them because I didn't have that growing up.
And you are that through your support. Your mental capacity right now and how you are upbeat about everything. I knew that about you before the crash and everything. And if you ever meet Caleb Dahlgren's dad, Mark, you'll know where a lot of that comes from. That's one of the most upbeat guys I've seen around. And your family with Stella and, of course, Erica, your girlfriend, have been a strong support for you, And I know that's been a big part of your recovery, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've been so thankful for my whole family and girlfriend. Like, they've really helped me out with this situation a lot. And they're in the hospital every day for many hours, and at the very start they were there the whole time. So that was really nice just to have them if I ever needed anything.
Let's go back April 6th, and if you can run me through I guess your recollection of what took place as far as you can remember that day.
Yep, so it was just a normal game day. We were in playoffs and against Nipawin, and we knew it was a big game because we lost the previous game in triple overtime, and we had the lead. We were up by two going into the third. So we knew it was a big game, and we had to win it. So we had a really good mindset. And woke up, had some breakfast, went for a pregame skate like normal, and then went to Johnny's Bistro, a local restaurant in Humboldt, and had a nice meal there. And there was about, I'd say, 12 of us that went out for breakfast. And after that, I went home, had a nap, stayed with my roommates, and then showered, got ready, and headed to the rink, packed up our stuff on the bus and left. And it was just a normal day, like normal game day, thinking nothing of it, just getting ready to go and play and win. And so we are on our way to Nipawin, and Nick Shumlansky, one of my buddies, was in front of me.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, isn't your house coming up here? Like, we were on this highway. I knew his house was on the highway.
Right.
To Nipawin. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, let me know when it's coming up. So I changed into my suit at that time and sat down in my seat. And as soon as I sat down, I was like, yeah, my house is actually right here. I was like, oh, sweet, like, nice house. And then a couple seats up, our starting goalie that night was Parker Tobin. And he, like, turns around. He's like, nobody cares. And then the whole bus kind of started laughing because obviously, like, we were talking.
Yeah.
And then I, like, came back, and I was like, well, I do. And then everybody burst out laughing. So it was a really happy atmosphere on the bus and a positive atmosphere. So then after that, I was like, yeah, I need to focus up. And I tossed on my headphones and put my head down. And that's all I remember. I don't hear anything. I didn't see anything. I just had my headphones in and my head down. So I missed everything that happened.
I think almost everybody did, didn't they?
Yeah, everybody pretty much did.
Yeah,
there's some guys that can remember it, and I feel really bad for them because they're able to remember every detail.
Yeah.
And remember hearing things, and yeah, that would have been really tough. And so after the accident, I had a first responder come and meet me, and so he was my actual first responder that came to help me.
So you were conscious? You were conscious?
But I was conscious.
But you don't remember?
I don't remember a single thing. So I guess I was walking around trying to help people and asking if they're okay and seeing if they need me to move them or any of that stuff. And I don't remember a single thing, but the first responder came up to me and he was like, what's your name? I was like, Caleb. And he's like, what hurts? Like, I was like, my whole body hurts. And he's like, oh, okay, like, where's the worst? I was like, well, my back and my neck would be my worst. He's like, okay. So I instantly got put on a stretcher and taken to the ambulance. And I was like, my name is Caleb Dahlgren. I'm 20 years old, and I'm a type 1 diabetic. And then so like, they loaded me into the ambulance. And I was like, thank you very much for your time. And that was it.
But you don't remember any of that?
Don't remember a single thing at all.
But you did identify yourself, your age, and that you were type 1 diabetic. That's almost like from your memory. You just automatically say that.
Yeah, and I didn't have anything on me to say I was a type 1 diabetic at all, and I need to get a tattoo because I was you're supposed to wear a bracelet or some form.
Right.
And that was bad on me. I should have worn something. But, yeah, so I'm going to be getting a tattoo here shortly. I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
And after that, I got transported to the Nipawin Hospital. And I was in there, and I guess I was screaming because I said my head was hurting. And then they didn't give me any meds because they didn't want to knock me out too much and then have me bleeding. So
right.
They just let it be. And I got transported through air ambulance to the Royal University Hospital. And I spent about a good 2 weeks in there, and I don't remember anything until 4 days after the accident.
Really?
So I don't remember anything in Nipawin. I don't remember getting transported. I only remember being in Royal University Hospital until 4 days after the accident. And then I woke up one morning, and I looked at my parents, and I looked around, and I was like, am I in a hospital? And they're like, yeah. I was like, am I dreaming? They're like, no.
Gee.
I'm like, yeah, I'm dreaming. They're like, no, you're not. And I was like, well, am I injured? And they're like, yeah. I was like, oh, did I get checked from behind? Like, they're like, no. Like, did we win? And they're like, you didn't play the game. I was like, oh, okay, well, I must have got hurt. Like, something happened.
Right.
And they're like, no, you didn't play at all. Like, you guys didn't even have a game. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, you didn't play. I was like, oh, so I got injured before the game. And they're like, no, there was no game at all. And I was like, well, where is everybody and are they okay? And then they told me everything that had happened. And I still didn't believe it. I was like, this is a dream. Like, I'm dreaming. And then they're like, no, go look on social media. So I was like, okay, whatever. I had a new phone at the time, so I downloaded Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and looked at it. And sure enough, it was prayers for Humble Strong. Was trending on Twitter, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, well, this is the real deal, I guess. So it took me a good probably 2 to a week to really grasp what has happened.
Tough to process.
And, yeah, well, it was unbelievable. I just couldn't really grasp it. I was like, no, like, this can't. But sure enough, yeah, that's what happened. And I was heavily on drugs, and that's why I don't think I can remember those days, because the drugs that I was on. But I think one day I'll probably be able to remember the accident. And I don't know if I really want to, but
yeah.
I know one day it might happen.
It may. Tell me about then the injuries you suffered.
So I suffered a fractured skull and a puncture wound. And then I also suffered a third-degree brain injury. And only 3-5% actually come out with full memory with the brain injury. And so far, I haven't had any memory issues other than anything after the accident, those 4 days in between. And I'm able to remember everything before and previous to the accident. And so I have that, and I have 2 broken vertebrae in my neck and 3 others that are compressed. And I have 4 broken vertebrae in my back.
How are you able to get up and walk and do all that with all these vertebrae?
I have no clue. I really didn't have any issues with the walking because I think this was in my back and neck, so
okay.
It wasn't like making me not able to walk. And I was very thankful that I wasn't paralyzed because there was a very good chance that I could have been.
Yeah, very much so. Now, tell me about rehabbing and recovery. I imagine every day is a better day.
Yep. I'm getting better daily, and I am doing physio 3 times a week, and I go
good.
To the clinic and do some exercises there and work out. And then on my off days, I have a little physio set that I have to do at home, and it's just like for core and balance and stretching. So that's easy stuff that I like to do, and I'm just trying to get better as soon as possible and as quickly as I can.
I saw a video of you stick handling in the driveway. Look pretty good, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah, I was thankful I was able to actually still stick handle because, like, that was literally my pride and joy. Like, that's what I love to do at
yep.
home when I have nothing going on, just stick handle. And, yeah, it's really nice I can do that. So,
this touched the world, but more so those in the hockey family because, as myself too, Tyler Bieber, the broadcaster who died in the crash, and I've been on hundreds and hundreds of buses like you have. Yep. You always felt safe on the big bus. Where were you sitting at the time of the crash?
I was sitting driver's side, fourth from the back in the aisle seat.
So, and that's pretty much you guys at the back.
Yeah.
Because impact came near the front of the bus, right?
Yes, but it was really weird because the guys to the right of me passed away. My roommate behind me passed away.
Wow.
And the guy in front of me was fine and walked away from it just with a broken vertebrae.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy how that worked.
It's not only crazy, it's unexplainable.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
the whole crash thing, I don't think anybody should try to spend any time on why that happened. There is no way to say why. It has, and we need to move on, and you guys have, and you're doing that. Tell me about, with the brain injury, you're going to go to York University. We'll talk about that in a minute. But are you able to retain and still, like, there's no lingering effects of that? You're going to get better. You can remember things. You'll be able to study and do the things you normally have?
Yep. As of right now, I've done lots of cognitive testing.
Right.
And so far, I've broken a couple records on the testing. And I've been able to remember everything. And so far, my results say I'm better than the average normal person in day-to-day things.
Wow.
So that says, like, a person that no injury whatsoever, that I am cognitively a little bit better than what they are.
That's
so
terrific.
Yeah, I'm really happy that's how it is. And how it played out so far, and maybe one day I won't have the same memory, but as of right now, I'm very thankful that I have it, and they're still trying to figure out what is wrong with me, and we're going to be doing a big test, which has 4 hours in the morning and 4 hours in the afternoon, and that will be the deciding factor of whether or not I can attend school this fall, like even just like take some classes or
right.
not, and that test will be in August.
York University, how did that come about?
I was talking to them all season, actually, and they were watching me from afar. And so I talked to them throughout the season. Our assistant coach, Mark Cross, went there.
Right.
So that was a little bit of a help, and he was in my he was supporting me through that time. And they wanted to actually give me a spot in, like, right after our season.
Mm-hmm.
But then our coaching staff was like, no, we'll just wait until after playoffs. Like, we don't want anything going on with the dressing room or any of that. So they're like, yeah, not a problem. And then this whole accident happened. And so they were like, they held off for like a little bit. And then I reached out to them and I was like, yeah, like I can talk now. I'm good to talk. And so they came up for Mark Cross's funeral and I got to meet the coach and five players and assistant coach Jesse.
Great.
So it was really nice just to meet them and go for breakfast with them. And then they offered me a letter of intent. So, yeah, it was really cool that way.
Where is York University?
It's in Toronto.
Oh, I bet your mom, Anita's real happy about that.
Oh, yeah, they're really happy. They never really have been to Toronto or even, like, in it.
Yeah.
So they're really excited.
Except that they go to all your games.
Yep.
Not pretty that hard is. Now when you're in Toronto.
Yeah, they're going to have a little tough time, but they said nothing wrong with it, and they're really excited and happy for me because
you bet.
I told them that I want to experience life, and I think Toronto would have been a great opportunity, and so I'm really happy with that.
Yeah, for a 20-year-old kid, you're far ahead of your pace as far as the type of person you are. You are, you've got some great miles on you as far as being an adult is concerned, and you're only 20 years old with everything that you've done. I just want to mention, too, the fact that one of the guys that you had picked up during the year, and I did a bunch of Mahler games this year, and that was Zach McIntyre. And I know you know Zach, and I know that he was pretty shook up, too, when he heard about the Bronco bus, because there was a point of time that he might have been on that bus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, he came with us and was a really good AP, and, yeah, I wanted to make sure he felt welcome when he came with us, and I hope he had a good time. It sounded like he did. He really enjoyed being a Bronco, and, yeah, he was a really good guy, and it was nice to have him. It could have easily happened to him as well.
Yeah.
And we did have an AP on the bus, Adam Harold, and he passed away. And so it's just crazy how these things can just happen at any given time, and it's unexpected.
Tell me about everything that's going to go on now, and that is the support. First of all, we're in the hospital and everything else, the Stanley Cup, everybody coming in. It was whirlwind, I'm sure, and I'm sure some of it is almost like you can barely remember because all of this is happening so fast, and all you're trying to do is recover.
Yeah, the support's just been phenomenal. I can't believe how much support we have received as a team, and the community of Humble has been very supportive. Everybody in the whole world, honestly, has just been rallying around us and being very supportive. And it just goes to show that this world is a great place and we can achieve things that we want to.
Yeah, and it has been. One of the people you did meet in the hospital, do you remember Bobby Clark visiting you?
He phone called. I had a phone chat with him.
Oh, okay, it was a phone call.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I remember that. And he was a very down-to-earth guy. And I just couldn't believe how down-to-earth he was. He was very nice and understanding. And, I really enjoyed chatting with him.
Yeah, he's a flin-flon guy at heart.
Yeah.
That's where he grew up.
That's awesome.
But what he showed, Caleb, was when he got drafted, he got passed over by a lot of teams because they didn't think he could be able to handle the rigors of an NHL team with type 1 diabetes. Obviously, he proved that wrong, and it was great for you to talk to somebody like him who has the same thing you do.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah, exactly. And we were able to relate on that level, and it was very nice to just chat with him about life and the differences now between then. Before, there was not much research done on diabetes at that time. So it was really up in the air. Like, no one really knew what he was going to respond and how he was going to do. And then he proved everybody wrong. And so that really goes to show a lot about his character.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, MVP, Stanley Cup winner. Yeah, he proved everybody wrong in a big way. What are your plans now? We're into the May long weekend. You're talking June, July. I don't know when you would go to York, but you still have some months ahead of you. So what will you be doing between now and then?
I'm just really just taking my time and focusing on recovery and healing process. I am, for recovery, I have to have a green substance every day, so like some salad or... So I just went with a green juice, and it's very healthy. It's got some kale, celery, spinach in it. It's the green machine, and it's called Royal Flush. So I take that once a day and get my greens. I'm supposed to have fresh air, so I've been trying to go for walks a lot this weekend. I'm pretty sure I'll be outside spending some time with some friends and family, and not really much going on. I'm just trying to recover and focus on the healing process and try to get better daily mentally as well with the whole aspect.
Are you a family of faith?
Not really, kind of. I do believe there's someone out there and something out there. And I do think that they are looking after my teammates and staff that have passed away.
You talked about the summer and everything going on before you go to York. How are your parents doing? I mean, Mark and Anita have not only had to deal, you know, with the absolute overjoyment of you having survived this, but there's a lot that didn't. And then parents get to talk with parents, and I know Mark and Anita have probably been in touch with, well, probably everybody.
Yeah, they've talked to everybody, and they're having a little bit of survivor guilt right now. And they're feeling bad for the families that have lost their children or loved ones, or really, like, they are feeling really bad for them. And they're taking it one day at a time as well and trying to focus on the positives. They'll be going back to work here soon in the upcoming weeks and just trying to get over it as well. This is a tough time for everybody. It's not something you can just get over in a day. It's going to take a while. So they're taking it with a grain of salt and trying to focus on the positives as well.
Well, I know, Caleb, it has to be. I can't imagine it because, I mean, we as a hockey community were just sick when we heard about it. Can't imagine what parents were going through. I just can't fathom that. So great on them and the strength that they have shown with this. Tell me about last night. You were in Regina for the kickoff to the Memorial Cup. All the Broncos and families were invited?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody was invited, and there was four players there, including myself. And so it was really nice just to see them and chat with them. And it was really nice to see everyone's families that showed up. It was a great time, and it was a great concert. And it was really nice of them to have a little memorial for us as well there. It really does mean a lot.
Did you see the Eagles?
Oh, yeah, I saw the Eagles, and, yeah, it was awesome. Got to watch them. I had to leave a little bit early because of my brain injury. I didn't want to overdo anything.
Right.
So, but, yeah, it was really good. It was a really great show. They still got it. They still got it.
Yeah. It's amazing. Those old boys and musicians just seem to be that they get better as
honestly,
the years go on. I bet your mom and dad like that. They'd be Eagle fans.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My dad was rocking out, and my mom was enjoying it as well. It was a good time.
Hey, and say hi to Grandma Stella for me, would you?
Oh, yeah, I will for sure.
Because we used to see her out at the Notre Dame games. I remember your dad came up to me once and said, Stella wants to friend you on Facebook, but she's afraid you won't accept it. And Mark said, do it. I'm sure he will. And I did. So I know that Stella, who would always sit there around when we've talked after the games, the family, and I know she just loved being there and being a part of your success too. Listen, yeah. My young brother, this has been great. I'm so happy for you and that things are going well and your rehab's going well. So I told you before, I'll be around probably in early July and I'm going to give you a call. Maybe we can get together and sit down on the deck and have a coffee and talk a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd love to spend some time with you and just chat.
It's been a lot of fun so far, everything that we've done right from Notre Dame into Humboldt, and we look forward to more from you, Caleb. Thanks for doing this. I certainly appreciate it. All the best to you and your family and everything that comes up when you head to York University. You are an inspiration not only to young kids with diabetes, but your attitude now post-accident has been uplifting to many. You should be very proud of what you've done. I know your parents are. You're a great young man, and for good people, good things happen. And I know that the future's bright for you, Caleb.
Well, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it, all the kind things you said. And thank you for having me on air. I love to be able to help you out. And thank you very much for all of your help.
Thanks, Caleb.
All right. Take care.